This particular session, we're going to be talking about the habit of regularly paying yourself. We're going to take about six steps in this study, in the six-hour period allotted for this seminar on successful money management. And this is the second step. It's extremely important that you get a hold of this particular key, the habit of regularly paying yourself. The lesson aim is to take the second step to financial freedom by learning to live upon less than you earn. Boy, how many of you in this live audience would like to be able to live on less than you earn? Can I see your hand? Fine, great. And probably many of you already are living on less than you earn. But most people are more every day than they earn. They're not aware of it. And the first thing you know, they've already are spending more money than they make. And the next thing, problems, and they become a poor credit risk. And the next thing you know, they begin to lose their relationship with the Lord. They begin to have difficulty between husband and wife. And it goes from there to the very bottom, often even to the point of divorce and suicide, as a result of us not being able to pay all that we actually owe. We get into this simply because we fail to save a part of what we actually are earning, living on less than we earn. One of the things you need to get a hold of in this particular teaching is that your wants and your desire for things will always exceed your income unless you decide that you're going to do something about it. Unless you discipline yourself, unless you take control in your life, no matter how much you make today, if you, often people are saying when they're making $5,000 a year, if I could just make $6,000 a year, I believe we could make it. We get to $6,000, we say, I tell you, honey, if we could make $7,500, we could make it great. And you know what? When we make $7,500, we use up all of that, and our desires are saying we need $10,000. When we get $10,000, then we're saying, listen, if we had $12,000, we could make it, honey. And we get $12,000, and our desire says, and you will never reach a level. Always reach out for more unless you literally discipline yourself of saying no to your desires in life. They'll always exceed your income. A doctor a few years ago grew up in a very poor background, from a very poor family, went to school, became a doctor, served his internship, went into medical practice, and in the next 10 years averaged making $2,000. And every year he was about $18,000 to $20,000 short of enough money to come out in the black each year. I just wept when I heard this fellow's problem. Poor fellow, $200,000 a year and couldn't make it. Oh, isn't that awful? You see, it doesn't matter where you go in life. Your desires will always be saying, honey, you got to have more. I got to have more. We got to have a bigger house. We got to have another car. We got to have another this. We got to have something else. You have to take control of those areas right where you are today. Not waiting 5 years or 10 years. You have to take control right now of those areas and say, no, this is the way we're going to live. The two of you sit down together, husband and wife. Decide how you're going to live, how you're going to spend your money, and regularly save a part of all you earn. Okay? You know what we do? We go out and pay the bills. We get paid on Friday night or Saturday night or whenever we get paid. And the next thing you know, we take that and we go pay the grocer. We go pay the cleaners. We go pay for the gasoline. We go pay for the rent. Go pay the utilities. And there's nothing left for you. You're not paying you anything. Listen, you're worth more than that. You ought to be drawing something for all that you're doing instead of paying it all out to everybody else. You need to be drawing something for the work you're doing. Don't you think you ought to? How do you do it? You put a part of it into a savings account, into some kind of account that will earn money for you at the very beginning. Now, this is not the ultimate. This is to get you started in the right direction to where you're beginning to pay cash for all normal living expenses, to where you buy paying cash for the everyday living expenses. We're going to be talking about that excessively tomorrow night as we talk about living and paying cash for all normal living expenses, you're going to be needing to get it into a savings account so you begin to get yourself free from the bondage. You know what? The first thing you need to do the next time you get a paycheck, you need to, if you do not have it, you need to open up a savings account. Even if it's a small account, $5, $10, $20, $100, whatever it can be, you need to open up an account and put money into a savings account and begin to pay yourself. The moment you do that, you will begin to feel the freedom from the bondage that money can bring on your life. And the moment you put money into savings and it starts earning for you, you begin to let money make money for you. You can make money two ways. You can work for it, or you can let money work for you. Which way do you think would be the easiest way? Well, I just shared with you about a friend that I visited with today, spent a couple of 3 hours with him today. Never have to work if I don't want to work, Perry. I can work for the Lord like I've always wanted to work for the Lord. I can spend all the time I want to do. I want to now working for the Lord. I can do anything for the Lord I now want to do. You know what the man told me when he came into the office a year and a half ago? He said, my number one goal, Perry, is to give $100,000 a year to the church. I said, you're on the right track. That is the first key to successful financial success. In order to do that, you're going to have to make quite a bit of money. But in order to do it, you got to apply the principles. He's a long way reaching that goal right now. Simply because he started putting the principles into action, right into force. Okay, when you open a savings account, you use it for four different things. You need to be sure, jot this down, it's not in your notes. A savings account is designed for four things, four reasons. One, you spend it only in case of these four reasons. Emergency, if you have an emergency, you have the funds, the cash there to do it. I've seen people lose good pieces of property, equipment, businesses, because the emergency came, they had no cash on hand, in reserve, to be able to handle it. Okay, second, you have a savings account that you might be able to invest, make an investment with, into something that would earn income, an income-earning investment, something that will begin to reproduce itself, will increase your income by that. I'm going to put in number three, in savings, things. You could identify that by saying it could be an appliance, furniture, could be an automobile. These are not excessive things. These are things that you're going to have in the course of time. They all will wear out. You need to be able to pay cash for the things that you need. And fourth, for giving. The Lord should speak to you about giving your funds to his work, to an educational building, to build a school with, for the church to build, whatever you'd feel like, then you'd have funds. Do not give emotionally. Polly's going to be talking to you about that, probably even tonight, in the area of giving emotionally. Do not do it. But Polly's going to talk to you about that particular area at a later time. But give. Stay open to the Lord to give and to work, that his work will continue to be blessed and will continue to be further all around the world. Okay? I've got some things I'd like for you to consider. Look in your syllabus here, and I'd like for you to consider with me and share with me aloud the results, both real and emotional, of spending $10 per week more than you earn. Anybody here identify with that? Anybody here ever spend $10 a week more than you earn? Yeah, I have. What are the results, both the real and emotional results of spending $10 a week more than you earn? Share them with me. Limit them in words if you possibly can, and we'll probably put them on the board. And then you jot them down in your notes. Will you do that? All right, yes. Guilt. Oh, yes. Guilt. Thank you. All right, quickly. Let's get stress. Stress causes high blood pressure, rheumatism, arthritis, bursitis, you name it, the disease, all of these will cause diseases in your body. All right, what else? What? Depression. Depression is going to come if you spend $10 a week more than you earn. All right, what else? Real and emotional.
On the real side, borrowing or bankruptcy, one or the other, sooner or later,
right. Exactly right. Exactly right. All right, what else? Both real and emotional. Huh? It costs money, doesn't it? It costs when you do that. That's right, because it costs about $6 on the checks, if you, I understand, or $7. $7.50 if you overdraw. Right, okay. What else? What else happens? Come on, there's a lot of things we need to share.
Worry.
Thank you. Give me some more words like this that come as a result of $10 earn. Anger. There you are. Goal's been blocked. All right? What else?
Fight.
Huh? Fight with your wife. Exactly right. Absolutely. How true. How true. We become a bad credit risk. There's a false sense of security. Wife has to take a job. Husband has to take a second job. Often has to give up the job that a man said not long ago, Perry, I'm having to give up the job always in my life because it doesn't pay hardly as much as another job that I don't like. I'm going to have to give this in order to needs for my family. That's what I'm talking about. Remember us talking a few moments ago, 30, 40 minutes ago, about the bondage of money, the bondage of finance, the oppression, the way our dollars and finances can get us into bondage, how Jesus said it's the mastery, how it can master our lives, how it can bring us into slavery. And most people live under this kind of slavery day after day after day. They have no choice. They have no choice. The dollar, the needs for it, tells them every day exactly what they're to do. Mammon dictates to them their entire life. They have no choice. They have no freedom. They're in bondage to the need for or the desire for money on a regular basis. Also, our health may be destroyed. One of the next things that will happen will be our relationship with God will seriously be affected. You pastors will be able to remember probably as you've counsel with so many people in that particular area. You see them as they begin to spend more money than they have, and then the next thing you know, they begin to skip the services. And then when they come to church, they're not as free to worship as they one time were. It begins to affect their prayer life. It'll begin to affect their Bible reading. You see, you may have thought this is a pretty carnal course, but this is a very spiritual lesson that we're learning. When we get our lives working like this, then our other life will work for us. The life all around us will work, but we must get our life into the right relationship in order for life to really work. Then there's a sense of failure. Talked to a man the other day, said, I'm a failure. I've always been a failure. I'll always be a failure. I'm never going to make it in life. I'm never going to get ahead. I'm doomed to live this way. Then divorce. Then the final one is suicide. And the suicide rate is growing rampant today as people everywhere are experiencing bankruptcy. I didn't know the world was facing a financial crisis that we have been facing when the Lord taught us these principles. Had no idea. I had no way of knowing what our world was facing, but pastors everywhere are saying, come teach us. Often we suggest, as you did, that you hear the Marriage and Family Life Seminar first. Get the family, get the husband and wife relationship right, then get the finances in order. But a lot of preachers saying, oh, Perry, we got it, our people are going bankrupt, they're in trouble financially, what are we going to do? I got to have that seminar, come teach that one. And so, of course, we leave it to the pastor. He knows the clock better than we know them, and we're available. The Lord told us to teach both of them, and so we're doing that at the request of people as they come on a regular basis. Okay, you've got those down. Now, the results of spending $10 a week less than you earn. Woo, how do you like that? Is that a good feeling? That's a good feeling, isn't it? All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the results, both real, the real results and the emotional results of spending $10 a week less than you earn. Let's put them on the board. Tell us what they are. Peace of mind. What else? Accomplishment. Oh, boy, I tell you. And that accomplishment feedback. Let me add a couple of words to that. When you accomplish something, and then you go to do something else, that accomplishment feedback gives you the energy to do something else and do it better. I guarantee you, some of you have had an extremely good, successful financial week this week. We'll look back next week as you're knocking doors and calling on new clients and new customers, and that's going to give you a new sense of security. That's going to give you a new sense of success. You're going to talk with more enthusiasm, more zest, more fervency, and be more effective because you're talking with accomplishment feedback in your mind. You're saying, boy, I did it last week, I can do it again. You must have that, and that's what happens when you spend $10 less. What else can we put up here? You got money in your pocket. Wow.
You got it somewhere in your pocket.
You got it somewhere. That's right. Yeah, it's Vic Sav jar buried under the third tree of the north side of the house. Yeah, right. Right. Okay, what else? What else can we put up here? Huh? Get here. Happy. All right. Oh, boy. That sure feels good. Feels good. It feels really good. Okay, what else? Think of some others? Boy.
You relax.
You relax. Wow. Right. Feeling of freedom. Boy, the feeling of freedom. Spending less money than I'm making. I'm spending less money than I'm... Boy, got freedom. Getting out from under the bondage. You have a choice then. You have a choice about what you're going to do, see? When you start spending less than you're making, you then have a choice what to do. If you're living or spending everything you earn, you don't have any choices. You just stay home a day or two, and they'll repossess the furniture. They'll come get the icebox. They'll come car. You don't have no choices. See, we're talking about a lifestyle that will set you free forever. And see, once you get this into motion, it's not something you'll forget. It's not something you'll discard new days. See, this will become a lifestyle for you, which will be pleasing to the Lord, and which will cause you to be more effective in every area of your entire life. Now then, I think, well, have you got those written down? Now then, let's get down to business. Let's talk about some things you could do to reduce your overhead, reduce expenses at your house. What are some of the things that you could do? We cut some expenses. We're going to go into great detail, but I want to stimulate the thought, and I hope that you and the wife will sit down and you will go over some things that will help you reduce your overhead to get you free. That's what we're talking about. We're trying to get free. We're trying to get you out from under bondage, out from under all the guilt, out from under the bad feeling. We're trying to get you where you have a choice about what you do in your life. Let's list certain expenses that could be reduced or eliminated and the amount that could be saved by doing so. Now, on your own personal syllabus, if you want to at a later time, you may actually want to put dollars and cents out to them. What are some of the things that we, this doesn't have to necessarily fit your life. You could think of some things that we might do that would reduce these expenses. Would you just suggest them? Polly, put them up here. It'll help you maybe think of it. Okay, what are some of the things we might do to reduce or eliminate expenses? Anybody want to suggest something?
Watch your
utilities. That's good. In other words, if the light's not shining on somebody, turn it off. That a good idea?
Don't stand in the shower.
Don't stand in the shower so long. Okay. All right, be conservative. Is this a principle taught in the Word? Oh, you better believe this is taught in the Word. Why, when Jesus blessed all of the food and they passed it out and they had 12 baskets left over, they gathered the food up. Thriftiness is taught, conservatism is taught throughout the Word. The principle, it fills the fibers of the pages of His Word. Oh, and he has some bad things to say about people that are slothful and are wasteful and are not thoughtful in these particular areas. Would you like to share something with us, darling?
To give a little bit of advice to the women when we start sitting down and trying to figure out what you can cut, the expenses that you can cut. Because you are the feeling person that you are, the very first thing you're going to think of is, he's wanting me to give up all of those things that I enjoy to help cut down expenses. And because he's the practical man that he is, he's going to be able to list all of them, and if he's not awful careful, he's going to forget about the feelings that you have. And so work together in this area. Now, I can remember a time when every time Perry would leave the room, he'd turn out the light. And because I didn't turn out the light, he couldn't understand. And I'd feel real bad because he'd come in behind me and turn out the lights, and I felt like he was correcting me. And see, we came from different backgrounds. When I grew up, in my home, we didn't have electric lights. My dad worked in the oil field, and we had gas lights. And so when it was dark, we turned them on, and we didn't turn them off till we went to bed. And so I grew up never thinking anything about it. The lights were just automatically on. It would have been quite a chore to have turned out the light and then got a match and struck it and lit the light every time we'd go out of the room. Well, the gas was free, and so there was no problem there. And so I never gave it any thought. I just walked out of the room, left the light on. Well, sometimes when Perry grew up, they had kerosene lights, and they carried them from one room to the other. And then when they had electric lights, they turned off the switch. So do you see what I'm saying? Learn to work together and don't feel put down one of the other when you begin to try to work out the expenses in your home. Because if you're not aware of it, after tonight, then you'll be aware and then you can sit down and work together. But I can remember a time when Perry and I began to work this way, and he'd say, honey, we need to cut this out. And all at once, my feelings were hurt. See, I thought he was trying to deprive me of something I wanted, something I wanted, not needed. But you need, until you get your finances in order, you need to learn to work together. And women, this is a place where that you can really fit into your husband's plans, is when you begin to try to cut corners to get yourselves financially free. And that isn't always easy, but it's rewarding in the long run when you learn together in this area.
Okay, what are some of the other things that we could do to reduce or eliminate overhead or expenses in our homes? Don't waste food. This is extremely, extremely important. There are many ways that you girls can learn to prepare food, or you need to, being a feeling person, and if you came from a fairly large family, you may tend to over-prepare more food than is actually needful at various times. Learn to utilize the food, as we've just had suggested to us. All right, what are some other areas?
Install solar.
Boy, I just heard a report today that kind of is a negative towards solar because of the tremendous amount of freezing in the pipes and this kind of thing. Somebody is sharing this with me today as Polly and I are making plans now to further the construction on our home. Well, we're looking at the plumbing and some of the other areas, the heating and cooling and what have you. And so, but this is something that might be considered to by those of you who would be in a position to do that. All right, what else? Isn't that something? What else? On junk food. Extremely, extremely important. Right. I think it's a healthy thing that we avoid a lot of sugars. The body was really not designed to consume a lot of sugar, and most of the sugars that we need are in the natural form in the various foods that we should eat on a regular diet basis. So a lot of sugar is not a healthy thing, and it's a very expensive food. We're going to talk more about junk foods in a later teaching, and I'm really glad to see you mentioning that, because this is a big area, and this is the most expensive food on the counter because it is a prepared food, so avoid buying prepared foods, and particularly in the area of junk foods. Thank you. All right, what else might we do? All right? Canning your own food or freezing your own food. Extremely, extremely wise. All right? What are some other ways we can eliminate or cut down expenses? Right. Sewing is an extremely wise thing. I saw a little lady today. She is 13 years old, and she has just won national or at least state honors in sewing. Took her $1,500 savings account and spent $1,400 of it for a sewing machine to sew. She is the seamstress of the day, and she is doing a super job. Lives in a neighboring town close by here in this area, and I saw her in person today as I was having lunch with some friends. And but she's learning at a very early age to sew and to you know, you girls can take $4 worth of material and make a $60 dress. That's just about right. I've heard Polly say that several times. Sometimes it'll be more than that, but I also know that that is possible. Okay, what else might we be able to do? Yes?
I put this exactly, I think I want to say something like sacrifice short-term wants, not needs, wants. I know that I, me and my wife both, have had a tendency,
yes,
where we get a little extra money one week and there's something we wanted that we might be able to live without, but there it is, and tend to go by right away.
Right,
and
right. Right. Extremely important that we avoid those short-term wants. Now, one of the things that I'm often concerned about that people will say in a teaching like this is that Perry is trying to get us all to live like paupers. That is the very opposite to what I'm trying to teach you to do. If you will follow the principle that we're talking about and add several more to this, like a smaller car, a smaller house, these are extremely important. The day will come then, you'll drive any size car you want to drive, live in any size house you want to live in. It'll make absolutely no difference, but these are the areas that will govern what you can do at a later date. And that's what the brother was saying a few moments ago, that you dispense with and do without some of the short-term wants. And the day will come, do whatever you want. Get whatever you want. Live in whatever you want to live in. It'll be up to you. Particularly in the area of homes, automobiles, because these are extreme items, is the poorest investment you will ever make in your entire life. Polly and I quit buying used years ago. I have no idea when we bought our last new car. I do not remember the last time we bought a new car. We buy one car. We buy a car that is low mileage. Somebody's already taken the beating on and smelled the new paint. We can buy a small can of paint and smell it. And it's a lot than it off of the motor of an automobile, and it'll do the same. They've already been worked out of it. And in fact, one of the last new cars we bought, we took it back to the shop 19 times in order to get one area fixed on the carburetor. Flooded, flooded, flooded. Every time Polly had come to a stop sign or stop somewhere, gas would cover the engine. The engine would be covered with gasoline. I was afraid to drive. I told the man, I said, this will be the last automobile we'll ever buy from this company, simply because we've been here 19 times and you have been unable to fix it. My wife's life is in jeopardy every time she gets in this automobile. We had driven those cars since the day we got married, but we left them completely as a result of that. Now, simply quit buying the new cars. Buy any kind of car you want to at a later date. It doesn't really matter. It's up to you as to the kind of car you need to do the research to determine what you need to buy at a later date. See, I'm not trying at all to make a pauper out of you. I'm not trying to get you to live like a pauper. I'm trying to get you to live like the King wants you to live. And he wants you to spend your money wisely today. See, you develop this lifestyle later on in life where everything you do will be reflected. It'll reflect that. It'll reflect the quality of life that you have developed along the way. And what an exciting way to live. What an enjoyable way to live. It'll be felt in everything you do. Oh, and that is so, so very important. Finally, I'd like for you to come and talk about for a little while these areas in the summary of our session. Would you like to do that?
Before I do that, I felt impressed that I needed to talk to the young couples that are here. And I was standing there thinking about that, and I thought, well, Lord, it may not fit right in here. And then Perry handed me the mic, so I may not get to the summary. But so many times when couples get married, they immediately feel like that they must have exactly what Mom and Dad has. And it took Mom and Dad years to accumulate what they have. And then because the husband is not able to move the wife into the same type home she came from, she feels bad at him and he feels guilty. And so you need to set your own lifestyle that you can follow and be comfortable with it and be content to live where you are and be able to work up to where your parents are, or you may be able to go beyond that. But I've seen it happen over and over again when a couple gets married. The woman wants to be sure that she moves into the three-bedroom home with two baths and a double-car garage that Mom and Dad have, the kind of home she moved out of. And she wants to be able to drive the same kind of car that Mom and Dad have, and the son the same way. And then when you feel that way, it puts you under such bondage that it takes away from your own happiness and what you're able to accomplish. And so wherever you are, if you moved out of a home with Mom and Dad with a lot or without very much, and you see the neighbors and maybe your peers have a lot of things and you're not able to have those, and this puts you under pressure, don't allow that in your own life. You and your mate work together, and don't try to set your pattern by what the neighbor has or Mom and Dad had, but set your pattern according to the book and work and set your own set of rules according to the scriptures. And when you do, you'll have happiness and peace in your home and be able to accomplish a lot more than when you're living under the pressure of trying to live up to what you had before you ever married or what the neighbors have or your friends have. Let me read these summaries, and you follow them in your syllabus there. Number one says money comes easily and increasing quantities to those who learn to save a part of all they earn. Now, at this moment, you may be telling yourself or saying silently, Polly and Perry, we can't save anything. If you can open a saving account with just $1, you'll feel better about yourself. So if you can't put $10 in a savings account next week, go open up one and put a dollar in it. And you may not be able to add but a dollar the next week. And I don't know, they might even let you put 50 cents in. But see what I'm saying? Start with something. Start where you are today. Don't wait until you, or try to wait until you accumulate a big sum of money and go put it in, because if you do, you won't ever open one. More than likely, you won't. You'll keep putting it off and say, I can't afford it this week, but I'll do it next week. Do without an extra bar of candy or an extra Coke, and save the dollar and put it in a savings account. And then next week do the same thing, and the next week do the same thing, and before long you'll be wanting to do without two bars of candy and two Cokes, so that you can put something in the savings. See, you'll feel good about yourself if you can open a savings account. It'll give you a good feeling. Hey, look, I'm being able to do something with what I'm earning. We are burdened with more and increasing desires than can ever be gratified, regardless of how much we make. If you can get a hold of that one truth, you'll be surprised what it'll do to your very life. You'll always want more than you have, unless you curb that desire. Unless you put a fist down and say, I'm not going to do it. You'll always want more than you have. Always. So begin now to curb your desires. Now, I'm not talking about your want, your needs. I'm talking about those things that, you know, you walk by the store and you think, boy, I just got to have that. You know, and sometimes we feel like we'll just die inside if we don't get it. And then we get it, and you know what? If it's a piece of furniture or a fishing rod or something, in a month's time it's old and it's set back over here in the corner. I can remember getting a new piece of furniture. I thought I just had to have it. And then finally when I got it for the first week, I'd walk by and I'd just rub it, and I think that's the prettiest piece of furniture I ever saw. But you know what? In six months' time, it was just another piece of furniture in the house. Oh, I enjoyed it, but the pride, the feeling of real pride and ownership was not there. See, and then I began to feel that same urge for something else. And so until I realized it, one day someone told me that. You know, when they first said that, I thought, that really isn't true. You know, I'm not that way. Now, everybody else may be, but I'm not that way. But if I hear something and I question it, I need to look inside myself and find out why. And sure enough, I was that way. It was really true that I was always wanted more than we had. It was never gratified. What we call necessary expenses will always grow to equal our income unless we protest to the contrary. It always seems like we just must have that. You know, our lives will just not be what they ought to be until we get a hold of that one item. And then when we get a hold of that one item, then before long we'll want another item and another item. And they're really necessary, you know. We can convince ourselves that we just cannot live without them. They're really necessary. But look and take an account and see if they really are necessary. Now, when you learn to live this way, when the time comes when you're making all the money that you really would like to make, then you'll continue to live this way. when you've learned to curb those things, then once you get a feeling of doing that, you'll want to continue to do that regardless of what you have. No man can climb the ladder to financial success who cannot plant his feet firmly upon the second step. And that step is the habit of the habit of saving a part of all we make. When I was a girl, before I ever married, one of the things that my dad required of me when I began after I finished high school and began to work, he had already taught me the principle of tithing years ago when I first started babysitting and earning my own money. 50 cents at a time, a dollar at a time, I paid the tithes out of that. But then when I finished high school and got my first job, my dad said, "Now, this is what you're going to do." Now, I thought I was old enough to know what I was going to do, but I wasn't, because Dad said, "This you will do. And out of every check, you're to put a certain amount of that into the bank." Now, he didn't let me put it in my own checking account. He said, "We'll put it in my checking account, and that way I'll know it's there." See, he taught me a principle that I began to save part of all I earned. Study thoughtfully your habits of living. Find expenses that may wisely be reduced or eliminated. Establish the habit of regularly paying yourself by learning to save a part of all you earn.